Are some senior Vatican officials exploiting the church's own workers? An article published this week revealed that many nuns were being assigned to work for cardinals and archbishops as domestic servants, often with little or no pay. The article was written and edited by two feminist writers, Maria Lucille Kubacki and Lucetta Scarafia, and it appeared in an official Vatican magazine. Dr. Margaret Byrne is a Sister of Mercy and a leading theologian, and she thinks the Pope himself might be sending a message through this article.
I mean, the issue itself, as far as I know, has never been publicly addressed, certainly not in appearing in a magazine attached to L'Osservatore Romano. So that is significant. You know, the women behind it, and especially with the interview with the editor, suggests that it's got some kind of official approval as being put out there for discussion.
Margaret, you yourself, though, are a leading theologian. In fact, you're a leading feminist within the church. What do you understand to be the plight of many women religious who are assigned to work in Rome?
I think it's quite complex. On the surface, it looks as though they're being used as servants. And I think that is true. There's a notorious example, most recent time, of Cardinal Bertone. There's also the complexity that there are far too many religious women living in Rome, and especially around the Vatican, than there is work to keep them alive. Mm. Quite a number of them have either come there to study and now find themselves in Rome and are choosing to stay there. So if they're going to stay there, somebody, their congregations, if they're based in Rome, needs some kind of financial support for them. The issue that Lucetta Scarafia seems to be talking about, though, is cardinals and bishops, and I think she makes a reference to some popes in the past, but not this one, who just more or less take for granted that there's a group of women religious of some order, and in many cases actually live in and act as housekeepers, cleaners, laundresses, cooks and so on, and basically act as housekeepers, look after all his domestic needs.
You mentioned, Margaret, the situation which you said was the notorious situation with Cardinal Bertone and his household staff. It's worth reminding people what that story was.
Well, Cardinal Bertone was the Secretary of State for Pope Benedict XVI, and when Pope Francis chose Cardinal Pietro Parolin to be his Secretary of State, that meant Bertone was no longer the Secretary of State. But like many of the other Curial Cardinals, they have a sense of entitlement. You know, I've been here, I've been head of this or prefect of that, and so I'm entitled to kind of be looked after in Rome. Mm-hmm. Now, he's originally a member of a religious order, the Don Bosco, and so I, for one, was surprised that he would be setting himself up in an apartment, and apparently he somehow acquired the apartment next door to his own and knocked down a wall and set it up. And when he was quizzed about that, he said that he needed the second apartment to accommodate the sisters who live there and who provide all his needs, his domestic needs.
Dr. Margaret Byrne. Sister Maria Casey is a Josephite nun and one of the church's top canon lawyers. And she's worked in Rome and says the experience for some nuns can be great, but for others, it's servitude.
Yes, that is so. And I did experience that in Rome. But those that I met in Rome from certain congregations were ones that were sent to Rome to study and do other degrees and other educational things. And so their superiors would organise that they would do some domestic work in cardinals' houses. And so they would do domestic work. And in between times, they would go and do their studies at the various universities. Now, I couldn't vouch for everyone that's working for cardinals in Rome, but I did meet a lot that are in the category that I'm talking about. They were highly educated women. They seemed to enjoy what they were doing. I don't think they were downtrodden at all, but I cannot vouch now for the cultural differences. The ones that I came across were from Western countries. the cultural relationship between women at any level in some of the other countries like Africa and Asia is quite different. Mm. Women generally do not have the same level of respect as women in society anyway. And so I couldn't speak about how they would be treated. But yes, some of the ones doing doctorates were ironing the cardinal's shirts and cooking his meals.
I mean, you've talked there about nuns, especially from Asia and Africa, countries where the gender power imbalance is quite apparent. I mean, is there, for lack of a better word, just sheer exploitation of these nuns who've come from Africa and Asia? They get the opportunity to live in Rome, which is obviously a great cultural centre for Catholicism, but what a price they seem to pay.
It would depend what they're doing. If they're there purely to be exploited and to work as semi-slaves or even as slaves, then that is totally wrong. But if they are there getting their board and lodging while they do domestic work and get better educated. So it's hard to say what the balance is in all situations there in Rome.
Do you think the Pope is concerned about this, though?
Well, I'd say if he's reading this and has the information to back it up, the Pope would be desperately concerned. He himself, as you know, when he visits to his own countries, are very concerned about the treatment of women, the rape of women, how they are exploited and so on. While I think a lot of the article refers to women in other cultures, not necessarily in Rome, the Pope would be horrified to think that in his own backyard, women are being exploited.
Mm. I guess people have pointed to the fact that Pope Francis refuses to live in the very nice papal apartments. He, in fact, lives in what's basically a guest house where all the staff are paid a proper wage. I mean, what message do you think he's sending there to some of the cardinals?
The Pope would not be happy if he thought that any person, male or female, was being exploited by his men of the church, as they're referred to.
Yeah. There's also to be a conference this week called the Voices of Faith. This conference was originally going to take place in the Vatican. I believe it's now been moved to a Jesuit complex outside the Vatican. And that was partly because there was some objection to the former Irish President Mary McAleese speaking. You know the work of Mary McAleese well. She's highly respected in the Catholic Church. She's not an apostate in any sense. Why would the Vatican, though, object to Mary McAleese?
That I couldn't say. She has studied canon law. She has been a great advocate for women. There could have been, and I'm speculating, her attitude to same-sex marriage, her attitude to abortion and a few issues like that may have raised some questions.
Maria, is Mary McAleese someone, though, the Catholic Church and the hierarchy needs to listen more closely to?
They need to listen to the voices of women with experience, and as President of Ireland and part of her work with the United Nations and those other positions she held in Europe, she is a woman of huge experience. So all of us could benefit from listening to Mary McAleese. We may not all agree with everything that she says, but we still have to challenge ourselves to listen to various options and various opinions.
Mm. When I look, for example, at your own resume, Bachelor of Education, Bachelor of Science, Master of Studies, PhD, Maria, this is a seriously strong sort of resume and background. I gather that you are not unusual, though, among women religious today.
No, there would be many that would be even more qualified than I am. Mm. And they give enormous contribution to the church and make great contributions to the changes that occur, not just in the church. Sometimes we move to changes in the church through changes in society and listening to the ordinary people. There's a very strong, almost doctrine amongst some of the great canon lawyers that new ideas are not acted upon until they are received. And they call it too, the same thing happens with law. If a law is not received by the people at large for whom it is meant, it is not a good law and should be rescinded. And so if the people at large are accepting change, gradually it works its way into organisations.
I guess I'm just asking, and I know you are a humble person, but isn't it time for someone with your qualifications, with your background, I'm talking here about a woman religious, to be running one of the major Vatican dicasteries? Isn't it time to be in the two or three closest people to the Pope?
That would be wonderful. When I visited Rome, let me go back a bit, in 1996-97, there wasn't a female to be seen anywhere except in the Pontifical Council for the Laity. I do believe there were some women in some of the dicasteries. Now there's women in a great number of dicasteries. We find them in the Congregation for Institutes of Consecrated Life, for instance. I'm not sure that there are any in the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and certainly not for the Congregation of Bishops. They are not in the higher echelons of expertise in the many of the dicasteries.
When we look at the makeup of church congregations, they are very often 2-to-1 women. What difference would it make to have senior Catholic women at the very top of the Vatican hierarchy?
I think one of the things that Pope Francis is very strong about is mercy seen as compassion. And I think women can bring to a situation a sense of a compassionate approach more strongly and more favourably than often men who are seen to be or feel that they need to be much more stringent and, you know, within the law and being so very careful of the law. I'm not saying that they should all step outside the law, but it's the application of the law is meant to be with mercy, the mercy of Jesus. Mm. And I think women in any of these dicasteries could bring that feminine quality of nurturing and helping and being compassionate.
Dr. Maria Casey is a sister of St. Joseph. She is one of the church's leading canon lawyers. She's worked in Rome and she's an expert on church law. Maria, thank you for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you very much.
Sister Maria Casey, and this is the Religion and Ethics Report.